everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I am super excited to be recording this today. I feel like I haven't recorded one for ages, and I've got so many great podcasts coming up. And I'm super excited to be sharing things with new things coming up with you very soon. Now, a couple of housekeeping points. If you want to book an unpack with me, now is the time. What does that mean? What does that entail? Well, an unpack with me is either an hour or 90 minutes. And what we do is we do a deep dive into your design. Now, I always, being a manifesting generator, I always encourage people to bring something specific to focus on. And I'll ask you about that so that we can really dive deep, because the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So if we can heal one part of your life, of your psyche, of your energy, then we are going to be healing a lot more than just that area. So the unpacks, we dive deep into your design. So we will go through it all, and anything that we don't get to, because let's be honest, for the junkies out there, there is so much to digest about your design that you get a PDF that has all the details in there. That's going to give you every single gate. It's going to give you all your arrows. It's going to give you everything that you need that we might not get to in a session, because we are way busy trying to heal something really specific that's keeping you stuck in your life. So if you want to do that, please sign up. Obviously, my diary is getting super full, and I've got something exciting to announce that's coming up soon. So I encourage you to get those bookings in now, because just around the corner, we are going to be launching the Mastermind for this year. I've been going back and forward with it. I didn't know whether I should or I shouldn't. And then I had this crazy dream. And of course, being a manifesting generator, there's nothing, I can't do anything about it. But I just knew that I could run the Mastermind a little bit differently this year. I knew that it was going to work while we're on the road. And I knew that this new model, it felt really good for me. So I just waited. I waited for that external clue, and that came in the form of a message on Instagram, someone wanting to know all about the Mastermind and can they join. And I was like, babe, you are the first person to hear it this year that the Mastermind is definitely on, and it's coming up. We're actually going to be launching details and dates very, very soon. So please, please stay tuned. And as soon as the details come out, you want to book a call with me so we can talk about the Mastermind. And there's only 8 spots in each group, so they will go super fast. All right. Now, today I want to talk to you about my last episode. I have had such a huge response, probably one of the biggest response to an episode that I've had in a really long time, if not ever, with the podcast. And if you haven't listened to my interview with Dave Rowan, one of my private clients, the husband of a very dear friend of mine, and if you haven't heard it, please go back and listen to it. Dave was a client that came to me, as I say, through a friend. And of course, because of the nature of the work, it was something that, you know, this friend of mine's like, oh, you know, Emma, I know that you're not meant to work with your friends. I know you're not meant to do that, but would you consider working with Dave, with my husband? And I was like, oh my God, absolutely. And the reason why is because I'd caught up with Dave and I heard a bit about his story. And for me, it was that moment where I was like, I've walked in those shoes. I know how that feels. And I know how, lost, helpless, hopeless, all of those words that you use when you're doing those things to yourself, you know, I knew how that felt. And I've worked with so many people over the years that have been wrestling with mental health issues. And Dave, when Dave came to me, as he says in the podcast, he was an especially low place, a very, very low place. And I remember thinking there was just something about this. And, you know, I say thinking and I mean feeling, that this was the client that when I first qualified as a behavioral coach, that I was attracting clients like this all the time. And I hadn't finished healing myself, you know, like, yes, I had healed my depression and my panic disorder, but it was still very raw. It was still very challenging. And, or at least it was still in the near past, if you like. Now, over the years, I've worked with a lot of people with varying mental health issues. But to have the opportunity to really serve this incredible human who you would have heard, like, on paper, his life was perfect. Perfect. So why did he feel so crap? And I feel like this is a story that so many people resonate with. So in today's episode, what I want to share with you is the process. You know, when Dave came to me, I was like, I'd been playing around with the model for years. Like, what does that model specifically look like? The model to mental health and well-being. And with Dave, we really dove in. And the reason that it worked so well, and I'm going to talk about this, is because without fault, he took every action. No matter how he felt about it, what his head said about it, even what his sacral said about it, he took every action. And because he took the actions and he took responsibility, he had such and has had such significant results in a freaking short period of time. So I thought I would talk to you a little bit about this model. I'll talk to you a little bit about how you can specifically start to change and turn around your mental health issues. All right. So at the outset, what I want to share is that if you have any form of depression, you're doing depression, you're doing anxiety, if you're doing anything bipolar, anything that is stopping you from feeling in alignment, stopping you from fully living your life, stopping you from being you, then get help. Any help is good help, especially in the beginning, all right? You're not alone. There are no rules. You know, the first place that you start with your mental health journey is taking full responsibility for your results. You are the creator of your reality. The reason that you are doing depression or anxiety or whatever else is because you have unconsciously gone down that road. But now you have an opportunity to switch out of unconsciousness into consciousness and take full responsibility for your results. I mean, I think I even said it on the podcast last week, but it's worth saying again. It is so important to understand that you are the creator of your reality, that this is in your hands. And I remember hearing that truth and being like, oh God, I did this to myself. You know, what was I doing? And then having that moment, that next moment of like, wow, okay, hang on. I did this to myself. So I can do something different. And understanding that this is the place where healing begins. It's a hugely controversial place to start. Let me say that at the outset. I am a qualified behavioral coach. I'm a qualified master coach. I'm a qualified metadynamics, which is just NLP with a funny name. A profiler in a number of different profiling tools, human design expert and qualified coach. Like, I have all of these qualifications. However, I'm not a psychiatrist. Okay. I'm not a psychiatrist. So I'm not someone that can, you know, tell you, well, take these meds or don't take those meds. But what I will say is that in the beginning, any help is good help. All right. If you need to go on antidepressants or anxiety medication, then freaking do it. So it gives you breathing space to try and get your head back on track. The catch 22 is that once you are in the system, people will have you believe their story. And as Don Miguel Luis says in The Four Agreements, the moment that you accept someone's opinion, that becomes a belief and an agreement within you. So please get the support you need, but also choose to know and believe that you are in the driver's seat. Okay. So knowing that where you are today is by a lot to do with your own choices or to do with your own choices. However, you can make different choices. The next piece I want you to understand that a lot of mental health issues are actually, it's a learnt behavior. Whether we learn it by seeing it or seeing other generations do it, it's also genetically passed down intergenerationally. Okay, so it's energetically passed down. So this can make people feel like they are powerless, that they have nothing that they can do about it. It's just, it's in their DNA, and it's not in your DNA, by the way. It's in your intergenerational pattern. Now, just because it's in there doesn't mean you can't heal it, all right? You know, if you've followed any of Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, if you haven't, for goodness sake, go Google him. We are the ones that have the choice through our belief systems, through what we focus on, through our language, our attitudes, our values, all of these things. It's up to us what we invest our energy in and what we believe in. And when we start to choose to believe in different things, we can change our DNA. We can switch our DNA on and off. So it's not a fait accompli that just because your grandmother was depressed that you'd be depressed, all right? So step number one is taking full responsibility. Okay. And it's not full responsibility in beating yourself up. It's full responsibility in I can change this. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know what. But I know I can change this. This is ground zero. Okay. The next step is starting to understand that brain of yours, understanding how it works. And I remember that I spent many years focusing on depression. I'm like, okay, I need to heal my depression. I need to heal my depression. I need to heal my depression. Till I read another fantastic book, which is called Hardwiring Happiness. And this was a real a game changer for me. It was one of the first books I really started to understand that helped me understand how the brain works. And I realized at that time that I had to start investing my focus in happiness, not depression, happiness. So where our focus goes really dictates the information that our brain's going to give to us. It's going to dictate the evidence that we see in our reality of whether we're healing or we're not healing. So taking the responsibility to really invest your focus in the places that are going to get you to where you want to go. And let's say happiness is your goal as well, inner peace. Mental well-being, any of those things. So you want to be making choices that align your focus. So what you pay your attention to, what you talk about, what you look at, what you read about, what you learn about, what you share with others. All of this is hugely important because it activates our brain, our reticular activating system, onto what is important for us. And it also will define what our filters filter in and filter out. And you've heard me talk about this a lot. So understanding that when we choose to consciously focus on where we're going, so let's say we're on the journey to happiness, we're on the journey to success, we're on the journey to well-being, we have to keep focusing on that. Now, along that path, what's going to happen is that all our shadow, all our inner child, all of our conditioning, it's going to pop up. It's going to come up and really it's going to smack us in the face. So that's the time we have to heal it. That's the time we have to lean into it. Look at it. Where did we get this from? Where did we learn it from? Who taught us to think this way, to talk this way, to act this way? How did it serve us? Because it would have been created. Depression was created to serve in some way. Do we still need it? Of course we don't need it because we now realize it's unresourceful and there's plenty of other ways in my example to live in an aligned way, the way I want to live, than giving myself depression and forcing myself down a road, right? So we want to get super conscious on our focus, what we're focusing on, what we're investing in. The next part is I want you to understand that your language is everything. Okay. So being aware of the words that you use is step one. If you're using words like I can't, I should, it doesn't work, this is all evidence of a belief system that's not supporting you to become the person that you're here to become. All right. So you really have to become conscious of the words that you're using. If you use words, victim mentality, or what I call below the line words, which means that you're at effect, it means that the whole, the world, that life is happening to you, that everything's a problem, that you blame, that you have to be right, that you hold on to your stories that stop you, then if you focus this way, then that's what you're going to get. But if you choose to invest your language and your focus and take full responsibility and know that life is happening through me, you know that you can actually have a say in your results. You mightn't be able to control anything in your external reality, which is not true, but, you know, from a behavioral point of view, we cannot control others. We cannot control the environment. We cannot control, external events. However, we can control the meaning we give it. We can give ourselves more empowering meanings. We can choose not to tell stories that don't serve us. We can choose not to hang out with people who gossip and bitch and moan and complain. We can choose to support ourselves with love and nurturing. And of course, talk to ourselves as our best friend, not our worst enemy. If you ever find yourself, with unhappy mental health, then pay attention to the way you speak to yourself, and then ask yourself, would you speak to your children that way? You know, would you speak to your partner that way? Would you actually speak to your best friend that way? Because 9 out of 10 times, no, you wouldn't. You talk to yourself as your worst critic, not your best friend. So you have to learn to be your best friend. So we're taking full responsibility for our results. We are conscious of the language that we're using. Now, stories and meanings, this is paramount. Humans are meaning-making machines. So what are the meanings that you're giving to things? For me, a lot of my mental health journey, I had an overarching meaning that I don't know how, I don't know when, and I don't know what, but I know I'm going to serve other people with what I'm learning, what I'm experiencing. I will help other people heal. Because everywhere along my journey, there was external clues, there was evidence that I was helping other people with their mental health issues. All right. So there'll be external clues, even though your brain or your mind might be deleting and distorting and generalizing that information. So pay attention to it. And then you want to be conscious of the stories that you're telling. Are you telling the stories that you want more of? That's the only sort of story you want to be telling. Now, let's say your friend did something awful to you and you feel really shit, and you just have to get it off your chest. By all means, get it off your chest. Go and talk to your partner. Go and talk to another friend. Go and talk to your mum. Get it off your chest. But you get a one-time rule. You get to bitch and moan once. You cannot be mentally healthy and well and, on the journey to success and abundance and all of those things if you are spending your time bitching, moaning, gossiping and complaining. It's just not possible, all right? So really paying attention to the meaning. As I said, the meaning. What's the bigger meaning? A client actually said that the language that she uses is zoom out. I often think of an eagle, I'll say like, be like an eagle and step all the way back. Take life from or view your life from a height and see how that feels. Or zoom out, because we are way too close to the project, and the project is the people that we're working on, ourselves. So when we get too in the journey, we can get really stuck and lost. However, when you zoom out, you can start to see how far you've come. So really being able to take a step back and see the bigger meaning, okay? The bigger meaning of what's going on for you. See how far you've come. See how much you've changed. Keep checking in with who you're becoming, as opposed to getting stuck in where you're at right now, because everything changes. You know, we live in a universe where nothing sits still ever. So if we're investing our energy forward, we're knowing that there's hiccups that are going to come up, and when they come up, we're going to deal with them. We're going to lean into them instead of repressing them, trying to run away from them and making them a lot worse. And we're going to do that through a number of different processes. We might do inner child work. We might do shadow work. We might do forgiveness, which is one of my favorites. You hear me banging on about it all the time. And definitely belief work. And then all of a sudden, it becomes so much easier to stay motivated on your journey. Now, the next piece is your beliefs. You have to start addressing your belief systems, because beliefs are nothing but a convenient assumption. They are something that are, you know, 90% of the time given to you under the age of 7, and you just pick them up and take them. And you create a life around that, which means that what happens is you say, no, I don't want what my parents had. I want something different. But your unconscious mind doesn't know that, because it has a belief system that supports what your parents did, because it kept them safe, it kept them loved, it kept them, you know, gave them attention, it gave them food, it gave them all of those things, and it gave you the same things. So your unconscious mind won't deviate until you consciously take the reins back. So belief work is all about becoming really aware of what you believe to be true, and not just saying, well, I believe this, but that's just ridiculous. No, no, you have to understand that the beliefs are created under the age of 7. So often the beliefs that we hold, they are ridiculous, but we have to give ourselves what we need to heal them, to understand potentially why they were created in the first place. Were they created to keep us safe? I mean, if you listen to Dave, he talks about a couple of his defining moments, and these defining moments create the adult we become, right? And they seemingly silly memories about being threatened with a fish hook that didn't really exist in a schoolyard by an eighth grader when he was in year one, I think, and missing his bus on the stop. I mean, my bus stop on the bus. And they seem silly and unimportant as adults, but these are the things that are actually keeping you stuck. So you have to get really aware of those defining moments, your beliefs, and just start to work towards creating new ones. Build the new muscle, the new focus. You know, part of the biggest part of responsibility is you have to keep turning up for yourself. Even when you do the old pattern or you do the old behavior, you have to keep turning up for yourself on the shit days as well as the good days. You got to keep turning up for yourself. Keep looking forward to where you're going and loving where you are in the day. So, what have we covered? We've covered full responsibility, investing our focus, the words we use, the stories we tell, the meanings we give, and the belief systems we have. So these are all the things, obviously there's a lot more detail to them. These are all the things that are going to support you on your journey to becoming healthy and well. And as your conditioning comes up, and your conditioning is going to come up in all sorts of different places, you know, from a human design point of view, your conditioning will often be in your bridge gates. It'll often be in your undefined centers. Then we'll also carry conditioning in our defined centers and our definition. So having human design, it's like we kind of know where to look first. And you're looking for the stories you tell within those areas, all right? So, you know, an example for me, right? I would spend a lot of time in 36, gate 36 energy. It's one of my bridge gates. Gate 35. It's one of my bridge gates. And I was constantly trying to push for progress. I was constantly trying to have the next experience. I was constantly trying to force myself to succeed and, you know, do the work of what the bridge gate was really inviting others in to help me do that work. Okay. I didn't need to be doing it, but my conditioning, I had so much conditioning forcing myself down that road because there's a part of me that feels like there's something missing. The not self says, there's a piece missing. There's nothing missing. I'm designed perfectly, imperfectly, just the way I'm meant to be, so that other people can come in and bridge my gaps and my energy can flow to the best of its ability. So the thing about your human design is it's going to help you start to decondition really easily because you know where to look. You know to look look back at the podcast I did, I think it's in the 80s somewhere, where I did deconditioning human design. So go back there, start with that. Now, as you go down this road and you do this work, what's going to happen, as I say, is just speed humps happen. And you deal with them, you lean in with them, you heal them, you discover the purpose of them, then you do forgiveness on them, you choose new beliefs, you choose to heal your inner child. So, and this journey is really, it goes up and down, all right? It's a roller coaster for everyone, no matter how it looks on their Instagram feed, it's a roller coaster for everyone. But what specifically is all of this healing, right? All of this work is about your self-worth, your love and acceptance of self, or as the tapping saying goes, to deeply love and accept yourself. So every single thing that you're doing on this journey is all about love, loving yourself when you win, loving yourself when you, inverted commas, lose, loving yourself when you get it right and loving yourself when you get it, inverted commas, wrong. And understanding that there is no such thing as right or wrong. There is no such thing as getting where you need to be. It just doesn't exist. You're where you need to be right now. So learning to love and accept yourself as you are right now is paramount. So the other thing that has to go in hand in hand is all the self-worth work. Now, self-worth work that happens all the time, every day I do this work, my clients do this work, is that you're journaling every single day. If nothing else, you're getting all the BS stories out of your head onto a piece of paper and you're doing forgiveness work on them to get rid of that energy. You're also making sure that every day you're doing gratitude, because you guys know how powerful gratitude is. It's the chemical in the brain that changes the game, absolutely changes the game. There's no other chemical the brain releases that can heal the mind and body as well as gratitude. So we're doing gratitude every single day, even the days that the ego goes, I don't want to, I've got nothing to be grateful for. It's taking the time out to be kind with yourself and saying, yes, I am grateful for this and I am going to do it. I'm committed. I'm committed to doing this for me, to heal me, to invest in me. And you would have heard me say a bazillion times, so if you don't do it already, freaking start doing it, that you want to answer the statements, today I rocked at, fill it in, and today I love myself because, and you do it every day, every single day. The other piece that is so profoundly powerful is mirror work. If you want to learn more about this, go and get Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life. But it's all about literally looking in the mirror and telling yourself that you love yourself every single day. It's about choosing to keep turning up. Like, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror for, I'm going to say 6 months. Like, seriously, it took me a really long time to look at myself in the mirror and say, I love you. But instead of quitting on yourself, like I did so many times, you stay there and you say it, no matter how icky it feels, you just say it. And, you look at yourself as though you're your best friend. Okay. And any of the negativity that might appear in your mind or on a piece of paper, you do forgiveness on it, but you have to keep turning up for yourself, This really is the key, to keep turning up for yourself. So ultimately, this is kind of the loose model that I use to heal myself, that I use to work with clients. Obviously, there's a lot of models that go into that. But you can just take this podcast and start doing that work. Start healing yourself and asking for help. Every single human deserves help. There is help out there for everyone. And it doesn't have to be this way. This isn't the only way to heal yourself. This is a way to heal yourself. And as long as you're asking yourself better questions like, how can I heal? What do I need to know to heal? What are the best resources for me to heal? Asking yourself really good questions, your answers are going to show up in your outer reality. All right. They're going to show up for you. They're going to show you the right next step. And the last thing I wanted to add was for anyone who has a really busy mind, and you find it hard to focus on something different, what I want you to do is I want you to, every single book I ever recommend, buy it, read it, listen to it on Audible, listen to podcasts, put a whole bunch of high quality, high consciousness, good stuff in, so it effectively starts to drown out the unresourceful stuff that's keeping you stuck, and in a really much lower vibration. Make sure you're investing your focus in where you want to go and who you want to become. And if that means by just binging in the beginning books and podcasts, do it. But remember, let's go back to step one. You must take responsibility for your results. So if you're binging and not growing or healing, then you're not doing enough. Action is the breakthrough tool. You must take action, even if it's uncomfortable. You must turn up for yourself. You must keep the promises to yourself. You must take the action. And then, well, you can't really fuck it up if you do all those things. You really can't. All right, beautiful humans, I'm going to let you go. We've got some exciting podcasts coming up soon. I'm even in the next podcast, I'm going to talk about responding. And then from there, I've got some exciting news to share with you very soon. Thanks, everyone, for joining. It's been great having you, and I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.